The News in Numbers with Tanya Khoury, exclusively on Chai FM.
Good morning, Tanya Khoury. How are you?
A very happy Friday to you all. Shabbat shalom, everybody. Yay!
Yeah, we feel exactly the same way. This has been such a hard week. Tanya, what's happening in the news charts?
Well, I think let's start by talking about what Howard was just talking about, and that's the gathering yesterday. That particular story only happened yesterday and stormed across the news media charts. 10.2% to Nando's DM gathering. That's 1 out of 10 of all our big news media this week. So a huge story and less than 24 hours on the charts. Certainly very entertaining. And Dile, from Black First Land First.
Yeah, we just call him Andile. Nobody can say his surname.
I can.
Can you? I can't.
I can try.
I think you should try, and Zanati will give you a score out of 10.
Okay, wait. Okay, are we ready?
Yes.
I can't.
Mlitam.
Say again?
Mlitam.
Yeah. We'll just call him Andile.
I'm giving Zanati a 9, and Tanya, you get a 3.
It's okay. I really don't care for the man, so I really don't care. But he arrived in Brian Malefe's son's Audi. Did you see that bit?
I did see that bit. So interesting.
I love that story.
How do you wear an Audi?
Go check out the video. It's crazy.
Very quickly. So certainly Nando's DM gathering making a huge impact on the news charts. Not so much in social media, but that's because we had a lot to say about other stories in social media. It was there, but it was less than the 2% mark, so I had to take it off sadly because I wanted to talk about that a great deal more. That's our strongest new entry in news media this week. Also, Women's Month is on there, 4.9% to Women's Month, and everyone looking forward to next week. So that pushes us to Secret Ballot, one of the biggest entries in the news media charts. Secret Ballot and No Confidence Vote coming in at 16%. What do you think's going to happen?
I think she's going to say it's not a secret ballot.
I think she's been delaying and delaying because she knows if she declares it a non-secret ballot, she knows they're going to take her back to court. And she doesn't want the court to rule before Tuesday. So
exactly.
I think sometime on the weekend, she's going to declare it an open ballot in the hope that they take her to court on Monday. They therefore postpone the vote, and the vote doesn't happen until the Constitutional Court has heard it. And that will delay things probably another 2 months.
It also reflects on her because she's got presidential aspirations, doesn't she, Bileke Mbete? So, I think if she says it's not secret, I think that sort of stymies any sort of presidential hope she has. But well, I suppose there's not a lot of presidential hope anyway. But certainly an interesting week coming up for us. So that's one of the biggest stories. But the biggest new entry by far is the ANC-NEC. They're coming in at 21.6%. So almost a quarter of our South African news media focusing on that. And then the others are just your usual sort of suspects. You've got the Guptas at 10.5%. You've got the SABC because of Hlali Motsoeneng's pension. Going to be taken back from him. Love that story.
How do you do that?
I'm not sure. It's not ongoing, though. It's not done, is it?
Look, there's a lot we could do with his pension, but the reality is a corrupt board gave it to him.
Yes.
Fire the board. Recover it from the board. I feel a little sorry for Cloudy.
Really?
I don't feel sorry for him at all.
Why is Amorvatoni still on the charts at 6%?
It's still the story about Joost van der Westhuizen and that shocking phone call. The forensics are out to say that it is a fluid conversation and certainly wasn't broken up, which means when she says she recognized parts of her voice, that actually it would have been her whole voice or her whole conversation. And then in addition to that, Joost's carer has come out of the woodwork to say that she really treated him very, very badly during his final years. So that's why I'm always still there. I imagine by the weekend she'll be gone off the charts because there's so much else to talk about.
Yeah.
And then Mkhosi Khoza is still on the charts as well, 8.1%. She's very vocal, and that's why, and media are lapping it up. So that's also a reason why she's on the charts. And then, of course, the state capture story, 7.2%. And that's very difficult to put state capture Gupta's, Nando's Gathering, Zuma Must Fall, as separate sections on these media monitoring charts, because often the stories converge. So you've got to be very careful about giving the correct and accurate statistics. So it's been quite a challenge for us. But yes, they capture certainly coming in at 7.2% in isolation. So that's a very big story.
Tanya, did you see that that video that I think it was EWN? Or ENCA, sorry, ENCA. They did, and they went to the streets and they asked South Africans, average South Africans, what does state capture mean? And not one person knew.
Oh my goodness.
Not one person actually knew. It was actually just mind-boggling.
And depressing.
Yeah, very depressing. But you know what? We need to find a way of taking the conversation to the streets.
Absolutely, I agree with you.
Yeah, it cannot just be people who are engaged in the media who know about it.
Yeah, and absolutely, those that are have access as well to specifically online news. You know, online news is where most of this stuff happens. It breaks so fast, and then of course the impact of social media comes after that. And if you don't have access to internet, you're not going to hear any of these stories.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to be spoon-fed what is on free-to-air television, and that's government television. You know, so hard.
Yeah. Just to give this is also why data needs to come down. Data prices.
Yeah, I'm sure that's when. Yeah. Just for anybody listening. What state capture is, if you don't know what state capture is, it's when private interests excessively influence a state's decision-making process. That's what it is, and that's exactly what's happened with the Guptas, and now you know why. All right. Tanya, let's look at some of the other charts.
Okay.
What's happening on
social media? I think the Guptas stormed across the charts this week. You know, often people say, well, isn't there Gupta fatigue? There certainly isn't, not by a long shot. Almost 30% of our social media conversation focuses on the Guptas this week. So 27.2%, largely due to several things. I don't know if you saw that Atul Gupta was interviewed by the BBC.
Oh, yes, yes.
And he turned around
The Gupta leaks are not actually authentic emails.
No, they're definitely not authentic.
Yeah.
Don't worry about that. He never heard of such a thing. That's absolute rubbish. Lord Bell from Bell Pottinger was also interviewed, who since left Bell Pottinger. And he said upon meeting Atul Gupta about how he couldn't stop describing how wealthy he was, and literally flew the PR firm in a private jet from London to Cape Town for lunch. With our money, guys. With our money. So that made explosive interview by the BBC. It's one of the first times that Atul Gupta has actually been interviewed. He came out to say he loves South Africa. He's proudly South African. Well, let's question your visa for a minute and your passport, guy, before we go that far. But that certainly pushed the Guptas into the top position in social media this week, 27.2%. And then also it aggravated the Zuma Must Fall drive and those related hashtags to 24.3%. So those two stories combined give us 52% of our social media conversation this week.
Crazy.
I think Atul Gupta's did the ask not what you can do for your country, ask what your country can do for you.
and you know what, they're going to stay there because Amabangane are going to be releasing more information.
You know, it's every day, Kathy.
Yeah.
It's every single day. I mean, the story of Eskom didn't quite make the social media charts, and I'm surprised because that story about Lynn Brown is just horrific.
And the PA.
Yes.
And the Director General. Except
absolutely.
She only fires the PA.
Absolutely. And that, I mean, so it just shows you our focus is not so much on the emails and what they're saying. It's more on this family and they're really, why are they still here? That's what our social media conversation is about. So yeah, certainly two of the biggest stories I've ever seen, 52% to those two stories combined. And Black First Land First made the charts. Yay.
Yeah. Right.
But Tanya, you know what didn't make the charts, and it's quite disturbing that it didn't. Julius Malema came out with a racist anti-Indian rant this week.
As part of the anniversary.
That particular story, very small, but if you combine it with Julius Malema and the EFF anniversary, that's a very big chunk of our charts, 13.7%, because, you know, those speeches were made at the anniversary celebrations. So that's 13.7%. But in isolation, that story's very small. There's so many. Look, Howard, let me tell you. These are the ones I took off this morning. Ahmed Tamal, like, that's a huge story. And it's on TV every day for 3 or 4 hours a day. And we haven't, that didn't make the charts. The Coffin Case is another one that had some horrific images coming out of the lawmakers this week. And that didn't make the charts. Edward Zuma, there's another one. Good heavens, what kind of story is that? He apologized for what was just the most despicable, open letter. That didn't make the charts. The FNB Stadium Stampede.
Yeah, that's what we did yesterday. All right, let's find out. Tanya, are you back with us?
I'm back.
Thank you.
Having a fat conversation with myself then.
Welcome to my world. All right, Tanya, what is happening in international news?
Internationally, well, Trump doesn't get more exciting than this week. I mean, have you been following the mooch? They call him the mooch, Scaramucci. He was in office for all of 10 days as the chief of communications.
Yep.
4% to that particular story. And he had me in stitches all week. I don't know about you.
Did you see his quotes? You know what amazed me about this is watching people's rants about how the White House is in disarray and, you know, yes, they've installed these turnstiles so that people, yes, can go in and out more conveniently. But I'm thinking to myself, this mooch, right, Anthony Scaramucci, goes on this rant about his colleagues. He's taking private information outside of the establishment. He deserved to be fired, and he should have been fired, and I'm glad, I think that Trump did the right thing by firing him. So
he should never have been hired.
Okay, exactly. Fair enough.
The reality is his official start date is only on the 15th of August.
So he was fired
before his start date.
That actually beats our finance minister.
But he came in, his first objective was clearly to get the White House chief of staff, Reince Priebus, fired. Which he actually did. And then he got fired.
And then he got
then fired himself.
Last night, apparently he was going to have a press conference where he said he would dish the dirt on what happened with his appointment and his firing. And then at the very last minute, that was cancelled. So I would love to know what happened between him and Trump over the past 24 hours. But he's certainly, the mooch has kept me very entertained. Just when you think our political landscape is bad, you only just got to look across to the greatest country in the world, allegedly. And it's just in complete disarray.
The book deal will be amazing.
I'll say. What about Trump and Obama? What happened with Trump and Obama?
That's related to Obamacare. A lot of that is Obamacare. 18.8%. And of course the media makes these constant analogies between Obama's administration and Trump's administration. And they don't let up. So that's one of the biggest slices of the pie. 18.8%. Trump and Russia continuing story. It never stops, the Russian story. 22.8%. With Vladimir Putin, Trump putting extended sanctions on Russia, and Putin saying, okay, all you American delegates get out of town. 700 odd American delegates removed from Russia due to the sanctions story. So as Russia and Trump hots up, that particular story is our biggest story on the charts. 22.8%. But there's so much more. North Korea, Jeff Sessions, immigration. I took a few off that didn't make such a big impact. Trump Jr. also still a focus. So Trump in total comes to about 70% of our international media this week, leaving only three stories that made any impact. One is Al-Aqsa Mosque, 3.5% there, that story ongoing. Neymar's transfer is huge, 12.3% with the footballer.
But they're paying R3.5 billion for the man.
Okay, but it's almost as big as the refugee crisis. Like, where are our priorities?
It's R3.5 billion. Do you not understand?
Immigration in comparison to Neymar, it's just ridiculous.
Barcelona is going to get R3.5 billion.
That's very nice, but they rand. What's that in dollars?
222 million euros.
Okay, it doesn't sound so impressive when you say it in euros.
No, that's a ridiculous amount. You know, I've always believed that transferring soccer players was just like the slave trade, because that's where you used to sell people. But I don't think most slaves went for 222 million euros.
And I don't think most slaves just had to kick a ball around, Howard, let's be fair.
But, well, I don't know. That seems like a lot of hard work to me.
Oh, it does, indeed, indeed. But yes, a huge story, 12.3%, making it bigger than most of the Trump storylines over the week, bigger than North Korea, bigger than Jeff Sessions, bigger than immigration, bigger than Scaramucci, and bigger than Trump Jr. So very, very big story for one football player. And then, of course, the refugee crisis getting the publicity it deserves, 14.4% to the refugees. And that's the first time in a long time we've seen that make such a big indentation on the chart. So that's good news.
So, Tanya, do you think Jeff Sessions, the U.S. Attorney General, will be fired this week by Trump? It's
no.
been days since he fired someone.
It is. It's been too long. It's been far too long.
Stop it, both of you.
That's Jefferson Beauregard Sessions to you, by the way.
Do you know, Howard, when I wake up in the morning, the first thing I do is I dive at my phone and I start scrolling for US stories, because, of course, the time difference means that we're likely to miss them. And I'm always very disappointed when there's not something huge that's broken in America to keep me entertained for the day.
You know, I am the biggest Trump fan. The entertainment value that I get out of this man is just remarkable. I'm loving it. If he doesn't accidentally nuke and kill us all, it will be an enormously entertaining 4 years.
You know, I think that American comedians can actually learn from us.
I mean, I'll still be laughing, I think.
I think that they can, because our comedians have got great material using local. Trevor Noah was a lot funnier when he was talking about South African stuff than when he's talking about American stuff. He's become very hardcore, very intense and like quite
so he's here, he's here next week. I'm actually going to go hear him at an Investec conference.
Very nice. Ask him why he's become so serious.
No, I think he's trying, but I think the American audience is difficult, and I think he's not culturally in tune with really how to interview Americans.
Maybe.
Yeah,
but Stephen Colbert is the one to watch.
Cathy, though. He's not half as funny as he used to be, and he's very serious. And I think to a certain degree that, like, he Trump bashes at the drop of a hat. And yeah, look, okay, he Zuma bashed, but he did bash everything else, you know. So I also find that Trevor Noah is a little bit disappointing from my side too.
Yeah, TK. Tanya Khoury, that's where we leave it this week. Thank you very, very much. Always love speaking to you. And, I leave you with with this thought. The top quote from yesterday's Nando's DM gathering. Is getting Sean Abrams out of a job, out of bed really my job? That was said by Richard Poplack. Tanya Khoury, thank you so much. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. We'll speak to you next Friday.
You too, guys. Always a pleasure. Take care. Bye-bye.